racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee. 이렇게 큰 대회에서 최연소로 우승한 거는 정말 저한테 너무 뜻깊은 것 같고, 그다음 그냥 최연소가 아니어도 이 대회에서 정말 우승하고 싶었는데 이렇게 우승도 하고 최연소로도 우승할 수 있어서 정말 뜻깊고 저한테 좋아하고 정말 행복한 하루였던 것 같아요.
Well, I was 21-year-old Siwoo Kim after winning the Players. Hi, I'm Bob Bubka, here with Jay Randolph Jr., better known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter, and you're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. All right, Jay, help our listeners out. What did Siwoo say?
Well, I think he said, thank you for letting me play. I like the golf course. I've got a very bright future. And where's my check?
Well, the funny part about this young man, a couple of things stand out to me because it truly impresses me. Yes, he's 21. He won $1.9 million. In his future, he has 2 years to serve in the Korean military. When questioned about whether he would still do that, he said, absolutely yes, no question about it. And then he had a flight to Atlanta. Where was he sitting? He was sitting in coach. Where was that? It was a middle seat. Man, I won $1.9 million a couple of hours ago, and I'm sitting in coach in the middle seat? No way, baby, on this end.
No question about it. You'd gotten in your car at the Players' Championship and found the nearest casino is where you'd have gone. Bob, we've talked about all the young players. You know, we looked at the beginning of the tour season with Cody Gribble winning and what Hideki Matsuyama and Justin Thomas were doing. And now we've got this young, dynamic player who qualified for the PGA Tour when he was 17. Couldn't play till he was 18. Didn't get that many starts. Had to go to the web.com tour, kind of toiled there, then learned how to win there. Now he's got two titles. He's the Players' Champion, and you wonder where we go with Siwoo Kim.
Oh, that's a good point, Jay. It's kind of astounding that he had gone 16 straight starts without a top 10 finish, and then he shows up down at Ponte Vedra on an extremely difficult golf course under, you know, severe weather conditions because the wind was one way, then it was another way, and certainly was more than a lot of the biggest names in the world of golf could handle. But
yes,
he played brilliantly. And I mean, not to make a bogey on Sunday? You got to be kidding me.
No, there were bogeys and double bogeys all over the place. Guys were getting off to good starts and then faltering. We saw that with Sergio. And a 21-year-old, like you said, Bob, who'd not been in the heat in a long time, who'd not really played that well recently, just has a magical week and looked like he owned the golf course, looked so confident. While other guys were trying to maybe make a move, they couldn't get it going. He just plotted his way through that golf course, and that's what you got to do. You know that, and that shows a lot from him, knowing that, you know, it is a positioning type of golf course, and you know, I know he's withdrawn, Bob, from the Byron Nelson because that back was acting up, and you could see him wince a couple of times last week, but you know, here we go again with another young player that shows he can win a signature event. That's huge.
It really is. It's amazing the way the stars come together. During the West Coast swing, Siwoo Kim is on the range hitting balls, and who goes walking by but Sean Foley. There's a little discussion. They say, would you take a look at Siwoo's swing? He does that, gives him one little bit of advice, moves on, and then sees him the following week, and then some negotiations start in, and Sean actually said he was really tied up with so many, you know, he's coach for Justin Rose, amongst many other players, but decided if this kid was willing to work, he would work with him. Hats off to Sean Foley. Man, that is pretty spectacular when you can be the coach of this 21-year-old, who knows where he's going to go in this game.
Well, and I think, Bob, it's interesting. I'm not the biggest Sean Foley guy because of what kind of happened with Tiger. And I, you know, I've got that jaded view of Tiger in a way. But I think for a young player to kind of form and mold him, this is big for Sean Foley, because when you look at the guys he's worked with, he's kind of worked, you know, you mentioned Justin Rose. After Justin had worked with a number of different people, obviously Tiger had worked with a number of different people. I kind of like the fact that Siwoo is in his infancy and he's working with Foley.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, having the ability to strike a golf ball, and you were way better than an average stick in your day. So, you know, when I get your opinion, it's very valued. But the point I'm trying to make is, you know, having the physical ability to hit a golf ball like he did, and then take that ability and couple it with being mentally tough enough to yep. get around 18 holes down at Ponte Vedra in the final round of the Players. It's Mother's Day. Your mother is in the gallery. I mean, everything was indicating that, hey, he's going to fold like one of my cheap suits. But he didn't. I mean, he just hung tough. I go back to the fact that, you know, playing well is one thing, but not making a bogey? You got to yeah. be kidding.
I mean, you just make one little wrong move there, a three jack or a missed fairway and a bad lie. I mean, that says it all. No bogeys. And you mentioned the mental aspect. That's the thing. That's the difference in these young kids now, as opposed to, you know, 20 years ago, pre-Tiger. I think it's the fact that they get mentally tough at a younger age and are prepared for this. And that's really stunning. And it's a young man's game. There is no doubt about it.
All right. Let me ask you this, Jay. You had an opportunity to watch on TV. There was much made about the changes that were going to be made to the golf course. Your reaction, basically, change is good, not so good. What are your thoughts?
It led us to a different leaderboard than I think we would expect at a Players' Championship. I don't know whether some of the stars, like my pick Jordan Spieth, who just struggled mightily, and you mentioned earlier in the show, Bob, that a lot of guys that, you know, the top 10 in the world did not play very well. And this is the strongest field in golf. My biggest thing was on number 12. I love drivable par fours, but I saw three or four guys, including Adam Scott being one, that I thought hit perfect shots and ended up in the water. So it almost got a little gimmicky there. I think they may have tried to do too much almost, but it's still an incredible venue. But you wonder how much it impacted guys who had success there before, because a lot of the good players were nowhere to be found on Sunday.
I'm glad you brought up hole number 12. Let's give a listen to what Phil Mickelson has to say about that hole.
There's always a fine line between great and awful. And as a designer, you're always trying to find that. And it comes out to the nuances and the subtleties. And I thought 95% of the new hole on 12 was really good. I really liked a lot of it. But the one thing that will keep me from going for it a lot is the area of the bunker and the front edge of the green, the way it kicks off into the water. And what's uncomfortable about that is that you always like a hard edge. You always like, as a player, knowing that if you are right of this tree line or left of this tree or whatever, you know the ball's okay. So for instance, on 18, I love how 18, if you're right of the water, the ball stays out of the water. It doesn't kick in, so you don't feel like you have to be 3 or 4 yards right of that edge. You know where that edge is. But on 12, it's a very uncomfortable tee shot because the mounds where you want to land the ball between the bunker and the green are taking the ball off into the water. And so there's a kind of a soft edge that as a player doesn't feel good. So I really like how severe it is by the green, though, because if you do go for the green and bail out right, it's a tough shot and water is still in play. And I thought all of that was really well done. Again, this is all a personal opinion.
Well, it sounded pretty much what you had to say, Jay.
It sure did, and I think it might be a little more than the 5% that he mentioned, and I understand exactly what he's talking about. I mean, like I said, I watched Adam Scott hit a shot that he thought was exactly what he had to do, and it just kept rolling. As Phil said, it's such a dramatic slope to the left. You know, if a guy hits a bad shot, he should be in the water. But if a guy hits what he thinks is the proper play and it doesn't work out right, that's what's frustrating. But, you know, as we have seen, and as you know, from the inception down there at the TPC Sawgrass with the stadium concept, it's an ever-changing golf course.
Yeah, and I'm pretty confident number 12 will be changed before next year. Let's move on. Somebody that played exceptionally well, somebody that didn't even think they were going to be in the event 3 weeks earlier. And, of course, I'm talking about Ian Poulter, who, after finding out there was a miscalculation on the number of FedEx Cup points so that he was able to keep his card and move on and got to play, and not only play, but he played really well. Let's listen to what he had to say.
It was a good week overall. I think I was really pleased the way I played all week. But I think when I sit back and reflect on this week, I've played with less pressure. I've played probably with a little smile on my face. I've had a lot of fun. I had a new caddy on the bag. Obviously, James stepped in for Terry last week and this week. So obviously that takes a little adjusting too as well. But yeah, it's been a good week. I wish I hadn't have hit that shot on the last. I wish I'd have hit it up somewhere around the green and had a little chance to put a little bit of extra pressure on, but it was a good week.
Let me ask you this, Jay. Brandel Chambly, who we know very well, good friend, known him for a long time, a University of Texas player, got into a Twitter war with Ian Poulter, outright saying that Poulter was playing for the money, wasn't trying to win, basically because on 16, he didn't go for the green in two, and 17, he went for the fat part of the green. Your take on what Chambly had to say?
Well, I got two ways I look at it. I think that Brandel has evolved at the Golf Channel into a guy that is a lightning rod, and he knows it. And he knows that part of his persona now is to question things. So I understand what he was doing. I must tell you, though, I disagree with it wholeheartedly. And I was glad to see Poulter not get too wound up, but did say, sorry to disappoint, on Twitter. I can only dream of being as good as Brandel. And we both like Brandel. But I think what's unfortunately happened to him in a way is he's put in a position now to kind of be the antagonist or the guy that looks at the opposite way that some of us would think. It works. He's become a star. I don't know how sometimes he looks at himself in the mirror, but I do respect him, and he's got a right to say whatever he wants. I just don't agree with it.
Chang City, what a mean and evil town, Chang City. You don't ever want to hang around.
That's a little bit of Chip Taylor singing Chang City, which is exactly what Ian Poulter did on the 18th hole, I think. It clearly establishes watching a player hit the worst possible shot of his career and then maybe hit the best shot of his career with the follow-up. I mean, getting it to be a tap-in birdie on 18, that was quite a show. That was quite a shank. That was quite a recovery.
It's a dirty word. I don't even think we should be able to say it on the air. But shank is something that does happen. It's more stunning, I think, when you see a golfer on the PGA Tour do it. You know, it's almost like an air ball, a free throw air ball. I mean, you know, those guys don't do that. And tour players are not supposed to shank. So it's so dramatic when you see it. And Bob, when you see it on the 72nd hole at the Players Championship, it's even more dramatic. But like you said, to have the wherewithal to get it all taken care of and finish up the way he did, kudos to him for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Just nerves of steel there in the end.
And you're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, TalkSport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, and, of course, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
Well, Jay, the only player left to discuss really is Rory McIlroy. He hung in there, finished tied for 35th, but his back is a problem again. MRI on Monday revealed no new injury, just a low-grade response to the rib injury from January. Rumor has it he may have injured it testing all those different clubs prior to announcing his TaylorMade deal for $100 million for 10 years. I think I'd wear my back out a little bit if I was going to make $100 million.
Massive deal. Huge deal for TaylorMade. Now having the 1, 2, and 3 ranked players in the world on the TaylorMade team. I know he still entered at BMW at Wentworth in England next week, but he'll reassess later this week. I just don't like the fact that we're seeing so many of what we consider our younger players, like Rory McIlroy and Jason Day, fighting these injuries. A lot of good things have been happening to Rory, and you'd love to have him ready for Aaron Hills in a couple of weeks. I just hope he's okay. But that's a huge deal for TaylorMade.
Yeah, and he's good for the game, and we certainly hope that he'll be fine. All right, Jay. Let's talk a little vertical groove golf. I hit it hard, man. So far, man. No laying up, no holding back. Ain't afraid of nothing, it's a natural fact. I hit it long, man. Till it's gone, man. Keep taking chances, living large. I hit it, hit it, hit it hard. Well, in case you don't recognize that voice, that's none other than John Daly, talking about how he hits his driver. And I know a little mouse told me that you got your vertical groove driver over the weekend, had an opportunity to test it out. Give us a first-hand report.
Well, first of all, JD's a lot better golfer than he is singer. But he's found a driver, Bob. The last couple of years, I've been switching drivers. I have a tendency to hit the ball high off the tee, really high across the board. What I love, and I believe it's truly because of that less spin off the club face, is that my ball flight was much more boring and lower to the point of where I want it, where in the summer when you got some firmer fairways, you can hit it out there 10, 15, 20 yards longer. I was very impressed with it. I also like something that John appreciated about this golf club. As we've gotten so popular with the jumbo heads and 500 cc's and, you know, all this rigmarole, this looks like more of a traditional driver. I mean, not to the extent of an old McGregor tourney persimmon, but it's a smaller head, and I like that. You feel like you're in more control off the tee. So I was really impressed. I'm looking forward to playing in my golf league this week and maybe getting a skin or two with that driver. I was really impressed, and I would highly recommend it to anybody out there. I know they're a sponsor of the show, but take it from me as somebody who's tried a lot of different drivers, extremely impressed with what they got going on. And as I mentioned earlier, Bob, the vertical grooves on the face of the club produce a tighter dispersion, less spin, and greater distance. And as I've said before, and now I'm a believer with my own driver, that less spin equals more distance. For me, it's a better ball flight, and that can only be a good thing. Vertical groove golf, the new face of golf. Go to vertgolf.com, vertgolf.com, to customize your new driver, like I was able to do, over the web. Order yours today, vertgolf.com. Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
I'll keep hitting it hard, man. How about you?
All right, Jay, let's move to the 35th AT&T Byron Nelson being played at the TPC Four Seasons at Las Colinas in Irving, Texas. Good tournament. For years, had the privilege, and I call it a privilege, of speaking with Byron Nelson each and every year. He's no longer with us, but he's with us in memory. And good field, Jay. 8 of the world's top 20 players are teeing it up this week.
It's a wonderful event. Saturday is a magical day. I call it the Sundress Open. Always a good tournament, and it should be this year, as it's the final time it'll be played at Las Colinas, because they're moving to Trinity Forest Golf Club in South Dallas.
All right, Jay, when we return, we're going to have more from the AT&T Byron Nelson.
You're listening to The Grill Room Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at the Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Make Coolbrella the next purchase for your golf bag. The Coolbrella is instant portable shade. It's an umbrella that reflects the sun, offering portable, effective protection from the sun. Whether playing or spectating, the Coolbrella protects from the harsh rays of the sun while providing a cool, comfortable shade. For more information on the perfect gift for you or any golfer, log on to Coolbrella.com. That's K-O-O-L-B-R-E-L-L-A.com. Coolbrella, instant shade and all-weather comfort.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. Your table's ready.
Welcome back to the Grill Room. I'm Bob Bucker, proud to be alongside Jay Randolph Jr. All right, Jay, let's move to the 35th AT&T Byron Nelson, of course, being played here at the TPC Four Seasons for the very last time. And I got a little afraid when I saw there's going to be a media party, and it's being called One Last Round. Now, I know in our travels, you and I, we always had a little trouble with that One Last Round.
Yeah, we were just going to have one more was the way we did it, and then they asked us to leave. But that party, you know, it's been the tournament is kind of a party. You mentioned the media party. Saturday's a huge day. I mean, there'll be 40,000 people that might not even see the golf course in tents, but it's been kind of a signature event there for the golf community, and now they're going to move to Trinity Forest Golf Club in South Dallas. I'll be curious next year to see what that's like. It's a property that AT&T has built, and obviously AT&T has been a great partner along with your man whose name is atop the tournament, Mr. Byron Nelson.
Yeah, and of course it's being built by Ben Crenshaw and Bill Kaur, so I have no hesitation whatsoever that it's going to be a thorough examination for some of the best players in the world when we come back next year and move on. But it certainly has been a rich 35-year tradition here. When you think of some of the names of players that have won, Tiger Woods has won here. Sergio Garcia has won twice. Now he comes back as the Masters champion. Jason Day actually won here, and it was his first victory.
And I know that you had the chance to ask Jason Day, about his thoughts on playing in the Byron Nelson and about the move to South Dallas.
When I look back at the AT&T Byron Nelson, to me it's probably where you rounded the corner in your career. You shared with us that when you came from Australia, everybody had convinced you how good you were, and you kind of bought into it not having to practice or work as hard. Yeah. But there you realized you had to work and practice in order to survive out here.
Yeah, well, it was just kind of my first event that I won, and it's obviously special because I lived about 30 minutes away, so it was very close, and I always enjoyed playing the tournament. And like you said, I wasn't working hard enough, and then got back into the swing of things, and then ended up winning the tournament, which was great. So that was it's always good memories to win the Byron Nelson, and hopefully many more to come.
This is going to be the last one in Irving, Texas. After 35 years, they're going to be moving this year should be something special.
Yeah, I heard the golf course is fantastic where we're moving, and you know, looking forward to seeing that. But obviously, sad to see it go away to another golf course, because obviously I definitely play nicely around that course, and you know, we've had a lot of good memories there. But you know, obviously, this is another door that's opening, and we can have plenty more memories.
You know, Jay, one thing about Jason Day being the winner of this event, it is somebody that Byron Nelson would love having as one of his winners, because Jason Day, just not only excellent on the golf course, but a wonderful ambassador off the golf course.
Well, you nailed it, Bob. When I hear him speak, I think of the first time I got to meet him at John Deere, and he's such a classy young individual. We talked earlier about the injury to Rory. Jason has had injuries. I hope that health with these younger players starts to really kick in. We got a lot of good players in this field. You got Dustin Johnson, and clearly something doesn't click with Dustin down at Sawgrass. He does not play very well at the TPC Sawgrass, so this should be an interesting week for him. We just heard from Jason Day. Jordan Spieth, what the heck's going on with him? There's another guy that doesn't play well at Sawgrass. He'll host the Under Armour Junior Clinic this week right there in his hometown of Dallas. And Bob, you mentioned earlier, Sergio Garcia, the defending champion and our Masters champion, and he's moved up to number 6 in the world rankings.
Yeah, but I think Jordan Spieth is going to be a lot stronger this week than he has been in the past. Guess what? We found out today, Jordan Spieth's picture going on a Wheaties box.
Oh, very nice. That's cool. Good to see that. Patrick Reed also in the field. Matt Kuchar, Brooks Koepka, and watch out for the Texan, Jimmy Walker. We'll see how he does. And Brant Snedeker, who's 27th in the world rankings, rounds out the field. And how about Vijay last week down in his hometown of Jacksonville?
Yeah, he played some spectacular golf, that's for sure. Speaking of spectacular, the official hotel partner for the Grill Room team this week is Wingate Las Colinas. Not only is it close to the course, it is also very comfortable with the most friendly and efficient staff. There's an on-site gym. I don't know if I'll make it. And fitness room. Complimentary hot breakfast. We'll make that. Complimentary high-speed Wi-Fi throughout the hotel. So when a trip to Dallas is on your agenda, please consider Wingate Las Colinas.
You know, Bob, one of the great things about our game and the PGA Tour is that oftentimes tournaments salute great players from the past. And we see that at Arnold's event at Bay Hill and Jack at Memorial. And we love it at Colonial with Hogan. And this week, it's one of your great friends, the Lord Byron, Byron Nelson.
When I think back of coming to this event and having an interview set up where it was Mr. Nelson, and I never called him anything but Mr. Nelson, would sit down alongside of me, and we would ramble on for, you know, he'd give me a good half hour, 45 minutes. He was very generous with his time, and he was very proud of the Salesmanship Club. They've been, you know, hosting this event since 1968, and they have raised over $150 million. That's the most of any other PGA Tour event. They all wear the bright red pants and the white shirts, so you know automatically who is in the Salesmanship Club. But I've kidded them for years. I said, guys, you ought to do a favor for all the other events on the tour. I said to them, Jay, why don't you guys do a training film on how to host a tournament? And I'm being dead serious. And, yep. You know, they only know how to do it one way, their way. But, boy, nobody does it any better.
No, it's like the conquistadors do it, and it's great to see certain places that around the PGA Tour schedule that have organizations like this, and they do such a tremendous club. I mean, a tremendous job down there in Dallas for at-risk children. And you look at Lord Byron, and records come and they go, and we've seen a lot of records that a lot of people thought, not only in the game of golf, but in other sports that get broken. But, you know, we always go back to 1945 when when Byron won 18 events and 11 in a row. That year, he also established, just to validate all of it, the lowest scoring average of 68.33. And even through all the great play and all the new clubs and the agronomy that's changed, that still has remained the top scoring average for 55 years.
Well, you brought up a great point, Jay, when you said, you know, records are made to be broken. I can guarantee you nobody, I don't care who you are, you're not going to win 11 events in a row on the PGA Tour the way it is. I mean, it's just absolutely incredible, 11 in a row. I mean, it takes my breath away just to say it.
No, it's absurd almost. That's how crazy it is. And you know, Byron Nelson was a guy that shut it down kind of early. I mean, he always wanted to have that land down in Texas, and he got enough money and said enough was enough.
Yeah, and one of his favorite hobbies was woodworking. Talking with his wife, Peggy, she would tell us he had a little woodworking shed, and he would go out there. He would build birdhouses, and anybody that had ever received one of those, they were certainly a cherished possession.
Yeah, a grand man. There is no doubt about it. And as I said earlier, it is really cool to see in our sport where these best players in the world show up, a lot of the greats that are recognized for what they have done before. Okay, Bob, let's take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to hear from the putting master himself, Professor Putt, Dave Pels. I know you got the chance to catch up with him at the Players.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Well, right on the heels of the USGA and the RNA talking about players taking too much time reading greens and using a green reading book that Bob and I couldn't figure out. Well, Dave Pels has devised a new green reading system, and Bob had the chance to catch up with him at the Players Championship.
So much talk in the world of golf is about reading greens. So what did we do? We went to the utmost authority on reading greens. He's one of the true legends out here on the PGA Tour, Dave Pels, who has helped so many people with their short game over the years. And, Dave, I understand that maybe you're working on something new.
Bob, I've talked to you a lot of times over the years, and I've done a lot of research, but I've cracked the code. It's been a real exciting experience to... About 9 to 10 months ago, I had an epiphany. All the data started making sense. I started looking here and looking at everything a different way, from a different point of view, from a different angle. And I realized I've been reading greens wrong my whole life. There is a better way. It's all based on physics. We've been working on this for 10 years, realizing that, as you know, 75% of all putts are 12 feet and in. I mean, if you can make putts inside of 12 feet, you can play this game. And we realized that about from 7 feet, the pros only make half, 50% from 7 feet. Of the misses, more of them are from misreading than they are from bad strokes. Now, every pro player out here blames their stroke for every time they miss. They look around, there's nobody else to blame. They'd love to blame somebody else, but they can't find anybody. They blame their stroke, and the truth is, more than half the time, it's that they've misread the break. I've got a new way. Yesterday was our first day. We have started a new project. Have you ever heard of Kickstarter?
Yes, I have.
It's an online company, Kickstarter. But if you go to pellsgolf.com/greenreading, that's all you have to do. That'll take you right to Kickstarter. And we're starting a project where you can pre-order my book, which is coming out in November, on how to read greens. How to look at the putts a different way, look at the greens a different way, go to a different angle. Use a green reading guide to train your mind. It's nothing USGA is going to ever outlaw. It's a new way to read greens. It's different. It's better. It's based on physics. You know me. It's based on physics. And we've got three tour players that have started on the system just a few months ago. We've got one of them in the top 10 in putting, never been there before in his life. And the other two are improving. So I am so excited. I think it's the best thing I've ever done. And I'm really excited about it. Read putts better. Make better green reading habits. And the better you read greens, the more putts you're going to hold, the better you're going to putt. I promise you.
One last question, Dave. Is this something that will not only help the best players in the world, but your average player that shows up on a Saturday looking to win in Nassau?
Absolutely. You know, if you don't know where to aim your putter, you putt 30 to 40 times every round you play. I mean, this is not just occasionally. Everybody putts on every green. You have to know where to aim your putter. If you don't know how to read break, how can you aim your putter? The problem, most people don't get better in putting. You know, they get better and better in ball striking as they take lessons and work on their game. Most people never get better in putting than they were when they were a kid. The reason is we've been reading greens wrong, and even though we sometimes make putts, we can read them wrong, pull them, and they go right in the hole, and we think, oh, everything's perfect. I must have read it right. Then when they miss, they blame their stroke. The confusion that causes when they misread and still make the putt is why golfers don't improve their putting if they practice on it a lot. And this is everybody that aims their putter, everybody that putts on every hole they play needs this new technology.
One more time, the name of the website?
PelsGolf.com. I'm Dave Pels. It's PelsGolf.com/greenreading. It'll take you right to the site. It'll tell you all about the new book. What I'm doing, Bob, and you'd be interested in this, it's not just a book. I've written 7 books. It's hard to learn out of a book. It's a book where you have a paragraph or 2 or 3 or 10 describing something, and then you immediately look at the video. You see. And the reason we're doing a Kickstarter campaign is that it is. I've got the best people in Austin, Texas, working on 3D modeling and graphics, because you have to see what I'm talking about to understand what you're supposed to look for on the greens and where you're supposed to look from. If you see it and you understand it, you teach your brain, now the USGA can never outlaw it. It's all in your head. You and your putter go on the greens, read the break better, and hole more putts. That's what I'm all about, and that's what this whole project is about.
I got to cut this short. I got to go to Kickstarter. I want to be a better putter. Thanks, Dave.
PelsGolf.com/greenreading. Thanks, Bob.
Well, he's a unique man, Dave Pels. He truly is a rocket scientist, and he's taken that knowledge and put it towards putting and the game of golf. And we wish him the best with his new system, Bob.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. We got a new driver in your bag. We get Dave Pels' putting system. Watch out. Here comes Jay Randolph Jr.
Well, now that you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf, that's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, and can be heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, TalkSport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, and, of course, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
So for Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, a thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf, like us on Facebook, and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.